You guys are very quiet today. Good evening. All right, thank you. I was so thankful for the rain last night and today. This was much needed. My yard is all brown. It's beautiful. The seasons are changing. Have you noticed? The Lord does beautiful things. I wonder how long this virus is going to go on. You guys ever wonder this? I sit and I ponder, when can life return to normal? I wish God would just tell me and end the suspense, but I have to have faith, of course. But I was talking to one of my friends who's a missionary in the UK. And where he's at, there's a lot of restrictions, and he's not allowed to meet where they used to meet because of various reasons. And so he's had to put his entire church online. And he said there's been people he's been trying to reach for years that will never come to the church service, and he's witnessed to them. And he says there's about 20 of his neighbors that will watch online every Sunday and will comment on everything that he says, so he knows that they're really paying attention. So I think, wow, what a blessing the Lord is even using this. Now, I think it's funny when that pastors are content creators. I think this is always an awkward thing, but we're learning, right? The ministry is different at different times, different places, and I think you have to use what the Lord gives you as the tool to minister in the time and place that God puts you in. So it's a blessing. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Exodus. We're going to work on chapter 6 of Exodus. Chapter 6 of Exodus. When we last left our hero Moses, he was in a very difficult situation. Remember that God had told Moses that he would deliver his people. Israel has been in bondage for 400 years. And God had made promises to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that he would give his people a special land. He promised them a land. We call it the promised land. And so they look forward and anticipate that. But at the time, they're in Egypt working under Pharaoh. And so God raises up Moses as a leader. And Moses, remember, he's our unlikely hero. He doesn't see himself as a great leader, right? He has to meet with God at the burning bush. And God gives him reassurance that God can do great things through Moses, not just because of Moses. And Moses is given miracles that he can perform. And he's given a brother to help him, Aaron. Aaron will be his encouragement, his older brother. And so the day comes when Moses is going to confront Pharaoh and tell him to let Israel go, that they can go worship God in the wilderness. A very exciting day for everyone. And so Moses marches in as he's commanded by the Lord, confronts Pharaoh, says to let Israel go. And Pharaoh rejects what he says. And Pharaoh gets angrier as we keep reading. And he decides he's going to nip this idea in the bud of worshiping the one God and one true God in the wilderness. And so he increases their production amounts by making them produce their own straws for straw and bricks. They have to go find their own straw, cut their own straw. And we talked about last time they had a little bit of a meltdown. You mentioned straw and bricks is every few verses. And they're going crazy, and they can't keep up with the production, and people are being beaten. It's an awful, terrible sight. And so they go to Moses, you know, why'd you do this? You know, the Lord should judge you. You're the real problem. They get angry at Moses as if it's his fault. And then Moses he turns to the Lord in prayer, and he says, Lord, what are you doing here? I didn't really want this job to start with, and now I'm failing at it. And we talked about disillusionment in the Christian faith. And sometimes we misunderstand God. We think of God as, if I obey and serve him, he'll make my life easier. And we think if our life isn't easier, we must have missed something, right? This is what Job's friends thought. But in point of fact, the Christian life is a life of faith. And so there's things that we don't see. And God is not our vending machine to give us what we want. We have to act in faith and sacrifice. And the Lord blesses us in his time, in his way. Often the Lord blesses us in ways that we don't even anticipate. And there's things that we do that we never would have thought or we would ever realize would be valuable to us at a later time. And so God isn't always predictable. So the children of Israel are very confused. I'll say this for Moses. He did have the guts. He did step up. He did talk to Pharaoh, which was hard for him. And then he does go to God with his burdens and troubles. That's the best place to go because God's the one person that hears and knows. So that's where we're at, Exodus chapter 6. And so in Exodus chapter 6, God will reassure Moses that he has a plan and things will be okay. The road will be messy. But the place, the destination at the end will be a wonderful place, a perfect place that God has made. You know, it's not just Moses that gets discouraged, is it? Isn't that true? All believers at time get discouraged. There's a whole book about dealing with discouragement. Well, there's several. The Psalms, right? The psalmist, you read him, he's happy, he's excited, things are going well, he's serving the Lord, he's joyful, he's cheerful. And then he's just like, everyone's mean to me, things are going badly, I'm trying so hard and failing. And then a little bit later, he's happy again. You're like, what's happening to this man? The same thing that happens to all of us, right? We all have good days and bad days. And we need to look to the Lord to be our strength and help and encouragement to keep going. And so this is Moses. He needs God's reassurance. And it's a wonderful thing that God reassures his people. God reassures believers like Moses, like us, because at times we all need that encouragement. And we all need that strengthening and help that only the Lord can provide. So this message today will be about how God gives reassurance to his people, how God comforts and helps us. This is going to be a lot more encouraging than last week's message, I'll tell you. This is going to be a lot more fun to hear something encouraging. So these are some encouraging words from the Lord. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer and then we'll look into the scripture here in chapter 6. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you care for each one of us, Lord. And we thank you that you do love believers, Lord. You don't just save us and leave us to ourselves. But Lord, you send your Spirit to work in our life, and you have a will for us, and you give us guidance and directions, and we can draw close to you. And you encourage us when we're discouraged, Lord, and you give us work to do and a valuable mission to serve you. Lord, that's the highest calling of all. And Lord, even as you work through imperfect Moses, and you used him mightily, we pray that you'd work through us today in our church. Lord, even as we're flawed, because, Lord, we know that you can do great things, and we look and anticipate your power. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see there are going to be six truths about encouragement. We're going to see six truths today, so we're going to have six main points here, just so you know. If we're on number five, we're close to the end. That's how you know, okay? There's six main truths here. Truth number one, God acts on behalf of his people. God acts on behalf of his people. It talks about how God is like a father, and how a father cares for his children and is kind and helpful to his children. That's the way God is. The scripture uses that analogy. If you're a parent that cares, you want to help your kid, right? You want your kid to be successful. And that's the way God is, and that's the picture of him. And God is going to say this to Moses, you know what, I'm going to act on your behalf because I care about you. You're my chosen people. I'm going to help you. So a number of ways that he acts. The first way he's going to act is going to be found in verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall I drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. All caps. I am Jehovah. I want you to notice, God is more powerful than our enemies. God is more powerful than our enemies. So God acts on behalf of his people, and he's stronger than our enemies. Those that oppose us, those that oppose the gospel, the truth, often we're fearful and frightened, and we have God to protect us. Just think of Pharaoh. He's considered a god in Egypt. He's probably the most powerful man in the world. And here he is oppressing God's people. And they think, here he is, this champion, and there's no way they can stop him. And what does God said? God said, you know, I'm more powerful than even Pharaoh with a strong hand. I'll use force, but he will let you go. But I'll use my power and my strength because I am Jehovah. You know, we need to realize that God is more powerful than our enemies. Somebody once wrote a book called When People Are Big and God is Small. And, sometimes we see people and we think how big and imposing they are. And we think, oh, man, what's God going to do? But that's wrong, though, right? Because God is more powerful than even the biggest person. It reminds me of a teenager that believed this fact. You know who the teenager I'm thinking of? David, when he was a teenager. He wasn't impressed by an 8-foot giant, even if he did have a giant spear and a giant shield. He had someone to carry his shield for him. Imagine how big that is. But yet, David's God was even greater. And David is someone that worshiped God and saw God for who he was, and so he was not frightened at all. You know, we don't need to be afraid of those that oppose the gospel, because we have a God who's powerful and a God who works on our behalf. God is more powerful than any enemy that you'll have. How else does he act? Verses 3 and 4, and God said, "And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." So God's going to reveal the meaning of his name. "And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers." So God does not forget his chosen people. God does not forget his chosen people. The Lord never forgot about his covenant or his promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he is Jehovah, the self-existent one. And God made a promise to them much earlier, and he gave them a promise of a specific land. And they were just pilgrims. They traveled. But the day came when they had that land for their nation and that land of promise. You know, the Lord doesn't forget his promises. This is what Peter reminds us. Just like people forget their promises. And I don't have to tell you guys this. We're heading into election season. You're going to hear a lot of promises for a lot of things, okay? Now, hopefully those are all made in good faith, but I think for those of you who have lived in this country long enough, you know that probably not the case. But God is not like people, is he? God remembers his promises. And so God remembered his people, and he remembered what he told them, and he kept his word to them. You know, God keeps his word. We have the word of God. It's full of promises, and God will always keep his word. The Bible assures us that God's word is settled, and it will come to pass, just as God has proclaimed it. I want you to notice the next way that God acts on behalf of his people in verses 5 through 8. "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage." God cares about his chosen people. God cares about his chosen people. He hears their groans and their cries. You know, God is someone who cares, and he does feel pain. Now, sometimes we wish, why can't he act faster, or why can't he do more? We have all these things for him that we think he should do. And of course, you know, why does God allow many of these things to happen that are difficult? I'll just tell you now, I don't know. I'm not him. But we know that he has our best interests at heart, and he knows more than we know. And there's reasons for everything that he does. But everything that God does comes from a place of caring and love, because God is love. And he does care about his people, and he hears their cries, and it touches them. And he wants to be to them, have a unique relationship. They are his people that he's chosen. And he wants them to worship him, and he wants to be a special help to them. And, you know, God cares about his people, and he will redeem them with his outstretched hand, with his power. God wants to be close to us, doesn't he? Now, in the Old Testament, he really worked hard at getting as close as he could to Israel. Now, sometimes they'd push him away, but those were his people. When we look in the New Testament, we have a group of people, the church, and God has called us out. He called us to himself. And God wants to be a special God to us and show his love and concern for us. And, you know, God does care. It reminds me of what Hebrews talks about Christ and how he cares. And he's touched it with infirmities, just like we're touched. And he can relate to us and how we feel. And, you know, the Lord Jesus cried with those that were crying. And he felt their pain. And he cares for them. He's not just someone who arbitrarily punishes the world or gets angry. No, he's someone that genuinely cares for his people. And he grieves with us. And, you know, this world is a sin-cursed world. And we've chosen to disobey and defy God. This is why Christ came to die. And The world and the sin that's in it has really made life difficult and hard. And he does care for us through this. And someday he'll make that right. And it's not that the world is broken forever. The day will come when things will be set the way they should be. And the God that cares will show himself mighty in our behalf and powerful. All right, so we talked about how God acts on behalf of his people. And he reminds us of this to show that he cares. Secondly, I want you to look in verse number 9. And so this is Moses hearing from the Lord, and he passes it on. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. When we focus on hardships, God's reassurances will fall flat. When we focus on hardship, God's reassurances will fall flat. Here is Moses passing out what God says to the children of Israel to be a help and encouragement. And you know, they're really impatient. They don't want to wait around. And they're so focused on the needs and the pain in their life that all the nice things that he's saying, it just goes in one ear and out the other. It's like you might as well not have been talking. All these great promises that God has given them, and yet because of their hardship, they won't be listening to any of them. You know, I wonder how often we're the same way. We have so many wonderful things that God wants to give to us, and so many promises in Scripture, and yet those things don't really mean much or have much impact because we're not really thinking and focused on those things. And we get caught up in the day-to-day, and we forget about things that are eternal and the things that matter, okay? And because we're just focused on the small problems. Remember we talked about earlier they were focused on straw and bricks and just everyday work and keeping up, and that's all that they could anticipate and think about. And they really missed out on unique blessings that God wanted to give them. So we saw how God acts on behalf of his people. We've seen how people have really missed God's promises because they're focused on hardship. I want you to notice verses 10 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of this land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Roman numeral number 3, struggling believers need to refocus on service. Struggling believers need to refocus on service. So Moses was given a command to lead Israel, and he just thinks this is so difficult, it can't be done. And, you know, I spoke to Pharaoh, that didn't go well. If he didn't listen, then definitely the children of Israel aren't going to listen to me. And, you know, he just thinks things are going to get worse and worse. And here we have discouragement on behalf of Moses. And, you know, the Lord tells him, you know, I did commission you. You need to go and speak the things that I've said. You know, it's easy to have a mindset like Elijah. Remember Elijah when he faces trials? He faces the 300 prophets of Baal. It's no problem for him. He confronts them. He wins. He faces Jezebel, and he just kind of falls apart. Apparently, she was a scary lady. And so he goes and he hides, and the Lord speaks to him. The Lord has a new mission for him. But because of his fear and because of how things are going, he just thinks, oh, it's hopeless. Nothing can be done. And so he just kind of dissipates his efforts and just kind of tries to hide. And you know what? Here Moses is. He's supposed to be this great leader. People are supposed to follow him. And things are just not working out for him. And so here I could just see him, you know, it's not going to happen. He's slumped over and discouraged. And the Lord tells him, you know, you have to refocus on serving. You got to keep going. Just because things didn't work out the way you want, just because something that you were hoping was going to happen didn't happen, that doesn't mean that you just throw up your hands and, oh, I give up. And, you know, I think sometimes withdrawing, stewing, feeling sad for yourself, that's the worst thing you can do, right? Because then you're just going to live in the moment of defeat. You're going to feel discouraged. You're going to lack faith. You know, I don't need help having a bad attitude. And I don't need more time to have a bad attitude. And sometimes the best thing you can do is to start to minister, start to serve, pick up the pieces. Whether you're doing a perfect job or not, You need to stay busy. And the Lord can use us to help. The Lord can use us and work in our lives so that we can help others and serve others. We spend too much time feeling sorry for ourselves, don't we? And sometimes the best thing to do is to get focused on what the Lord has for us and to refocus our efforts. This week, when you are discouraged, don't just withdraw. Think to yourself, you know, what does the Lord have for me? Where should I be serving? What can I do? You know, the situation has changed. What openings do I have? So this week, this is my challenge for you. When you get discouraged, not just withdraw, not just feel sorry for yourself. I think we all can do that, right? We can all pout. Woe is me, right? We can all say that. But the Lord's not going to use that. The Lord wants us to get up and keep going. There's a story that comes to my mind of a pastor who had a lady in his church, and she was married for many years, and she loved her husband. And unfortunately, her husband passed away. And she went from being cheerful to being very discouraged, very sad. And she told the pastor, I got to meet with you, and I got to tell you all my problems, and my life is so hard. And she was just so down and discouraged. And he said, I'd like to meet with you, but can you just do me one favor? There's a family at church that has a loved one in the hospital. Can you bring him some flowers for me? And she said, okay, I'll do that. So then that week she goes to the hospital to meet the family, and they're so glad to see her. They tell her all their troubles, and she's a grandmother to them and gives them flowers and tells them, it'll be okay, it'll be fine. And then she calls the pastor up that week, you know, my life is so hard, we got to meet, and we got to talk about all the bad things. And so he says, okay, we can meet, but just I want you to do one more thing for me. There's someone in the church that is a shut-in. I want you to bring that person a meal. He says, okay, I'll do that. But then after that, we're going to meet. Okay, fine. So the pastor gives her a meal, and she takes it to the shut-in, and the shut-in is so glad to see this lady, and she just talks a mile a minute. And this lady needs someone to talk to, so she talks too. And everyone's talking and having a great time of fellowship, and things are wonderful. And she's just so happy she's able to help this shut-in. And then that next week, she calls up the pastor, and she says, I don't think we need to meet. I think I'm fine now. And, you know, that's a little bit of a humorous story, but, you know, if we're just going to feel sad for ourselves and somber, the Lord's not going to use us. We got to get up and keep going and see what the Lord has next for us. And so this is what Moses needs to do. All right, verses 14 through 27, it's going to be a genealogy. I bet you're wondering, how am I going to preach through a genealogy? Are you wondering this? I wondered this all week, but I have an answer, though. All right, Roman numeral 4, God chooses the right person for the right job. God chooses the right person for the right job. So this genealogy is very specific, and amongst the action, this is kind of slipped in between things. One commentator I read said this is kind of like a commercial break, but you have this injected in here. You have this genealogy. And it's really to show that Moses is the man for the job. And you're going to see some of the people in here will be introduced at this point, and later on we'll see them. Some of them will be heroes. Some of them will be villains. But this specifically is to show that God has chosen the right person. And so we're going to look at some of these. I want you to notice letter A. The genealogy starts with the patriarchs and ends in Judges. So it's going to trace from the patriarchs all the way to the book of Judges. I also want you to see the genealogy's focus on Moses and the people around him. So his family, the people that he comes from, it's going to show his importance. Now, remember during this time, lineage was everything, and which tribe you're from and all these things are very, very important. And so Moses has to have the right pedigree if he's to lead God's people. And so C, the genealogy proves Moses' priestly qualifications. His family on both sides, he's from the priestly line. And so this is a way of God validating his leadership. Okay, so Moses is the right person to lead. Now this week, if you want to read verses 14 through 27, go ahead. I'm not going to read it at this very point. Every word of God is valuable and important. I hit a few highlights for you of kind of what it's about. But God does pick the right people for the right jobs. He puts us in the right places. We don't often see ourselves as being the right person for the job. I don't know if you're like me. Some jobs I think, I don't think I can do that. Or, you know, the thing that's required isn't really what my expertise is. But then again, you know, some days I'm still trying to find my expertise. But anyway, you know, the Lord knows more than we do, don't we? And the Lord puts us where we're supposed to be. Now, sometimes you get frustrated with God. You know, why can't I be like this person or that person, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? But, you know, the Lord equips us to do what we're supposed to do. And sometimes when we don't get things done that we think we should get done, well, one of two things is true. Either we're trying to do things that God hasn't designed us to do. Sometimes we take on tasks that are not our tasks instead of focusing on what God has given us and what God has burdened us to do. The other problem could be is sometimes we're inefficient with what God gives us. You know, we're not really working and developing our skills or relying on Him the way that we should. And so that makes us failures. But God gives us the gifts we need and the talents that we need. Just as God used Moses, gave Moses the right family and the right abilities to lead the children of Israel, you know, God gives each one of us talents and abilities. And God gives people in this body gifts. We all have different spiritual gifts and abilities, and God helps us minister in different ways. And, you know, sometimes we meet some people in the church and you scratch your head and you're like, I don't understand that person. And a lot of people tell me that. And then other times people may think that about you, right? But the Lord made us all different. We're not all the same. And we all have different gifts and abilities, and it's our job to use what God has given us, because God does not make mistakes. And God puts the right person in the right place to accomplish the right task. So it's important that it's important that we're doing the things that God wants. And, you know, I love the spiritual gifts test, personality test, those things, they make me so excited. I'm so happy and excited to read about all the different gifts and personality types, and I think it's so much fun. But I will tell you, truth be told, that the most important thing is not the personality test or the which group you're in or however God uses you. God gave those to us to minister to the body of believers. I think the best way to find your gifts is to minister. And you learn very quickly what the Lord uses, what's able to minister to others, where you find joy in serving Christ, and that's what it's really about. And it's hard to find your gifts when you're not really serving anyone, is it? So we need to be faithful, and God can use us. All right, truth number 5, found in verses 28 through 30. It says, "And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" So we see Roman numeral number 5. We can choose to focus on our inability or God's power. We can choose to focus on our inabilities or God's power. So God calls Moses. He tells him that he's the Lord, all caps. That's Jehovah. And what does Moses say? I am uncircumcised of lips, and I'm not qualified. Remember, he has the thing, I'm not eloquent. Now, this speech that he gives, saying why he can't serve God, may sound familiar, because we read it a little bit earlier. This is the second time he's given this speech. It's the exact same wording he gives. So his list of excuses are memorized. He's very convinced of them. He knows exactly what he can't do, and he's eager to tell God about it. I don't know if sounds like something that you and I would do. Oh, I can't do that. But now he's added, he goes from not eloquent to uncircumcised of lips. Remember, his son was uncircumcised earlier. So now, double whammy. I'm not qualified. I can't do this. I've messed up. So here he is telling God what he can and can't do. His creator. Sad. Now, I would look down on him more, but can't say that I'm much better. I have my own days and my own problems. But we can choose to focus on ourselves and our limits and our failings. And, you know, when you have lots of free time and you really focus on yourself, you will be a depressed person because we are sinners. And by nature, we often fall short of what God has for us. Or, rather than focusing on ourselves, we can choose to focus on God and His abilities. Okay, God is the creator. God is all-powerful. He's self-sustaining. He doesn't rely on anyone else. This is a much more encouraging thing to think about. And when I think about God and working through my life and giving me the power that I need to live the Christian life, then suddenly my possibilities are endless, right? This is a much more upbeat and encouraging thing to think about. And so Moses has to decide, is he going to focus on what Moses can do and Moses' limitations and all the stuff Moses has done wrong? Or can he focus on what the Lord has for him? Let's focus on what the Lord has. Let's not just be focusing on ourselves. All right. I have one last point. I've worked through the whole passage, but this next point is a summarization of the entire chapter in one point. So when I first read this passage to prepare for my sermon, I try to read through it a bunch of times before I start, just to get the flow and the feel of a passage. When I read through it, everything I read, I'm like, yep, I've been through that, I've talked about that, I've preached over that, and like this is a repeat of all the previous chapters. I was like disappointed. I thought, why is this in the scriptures? You know, God calls Moses. Moses says, I can't do it. And I'm like, I feel like we've been over this before, right? You know, Moses says, I'm not eloquent. Moses fails. And I think, okay, we've been here. The children of Israel are not really listening. God says, I'm all powerful. Trust me. I didn't forget about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I care about my people. I'm like, this is, come on. The same thing over and over again. This is the repeat of what Israel hasn't learned. Moses hasn't learned. No one's listening to God. And I feel like we've covered this in the last two chapters. Why would God put it in here yet again? You know why? I think I know why. The reason why this is repeated and why God says this yet again is because Moses has heard this before, but Moses hasn't absorb this. Moses needs to hear this again. Israel needs to hear what God is again. Now, Moses has the same excuses. It's ready to go. He says it twice. It's memorized. Way to go. But at the end of the day, he needs to think about who is Jehovah. And he needs to remember that God is all-powerful. He needs to remember that God cares. The children of Israel need to realize that. God has heard them. God does care about them. And the problems they have, he is aware of, and he will help them. Now, Moses is a great man. Okay, he's the scripture, Hebrews 11, right? He's a great man of the faith. If Moses forgets about God and God's power, and Moses forgets about God's abilities, and Israel does, you know what I wonder? I wonder if we ever forget about God's power. And I wonder if we need reminders like the children of Israel need reminders. I wonder if there's days when we start out, maybe we're upbeat and we're trusting the Lord, maybe we're reading the scriptures and praying, and then hardship comes, we have our own straw and brick problem, and something difficult at work happens or at home happens, and what happens? We're back to doubting God. We're back to lacking faith. And you know, we need to be reminded. Just like Moses was reminded, we need to remind ourselves. We need scripture to remind us. We need prayer. We need to sing hymns that are uplifting and encouraging so that we can stay upbeat and so that we can continue to have faith. We need to be reading the Psalms. Just knowing about who God is and what he can do is not enough, right? Doesn't the Bible say this? That the devil believes and fears God. That doesn't help him because the devil doesn't have that truth where he really believes it. We need regular reminders of who God is. When we need regular reminders of who we are, realizing that we're insufficient, we need to be reminded each day that God's power is enough and that we need to live each day by faith. So as Moses forgot, we can forget. We need to be reminded of this. This is why this chapter is in here again, because God has to say it again, because God's people need to hear it again. So this is a very thing that's important for us to remember. In conclusion, we look at this passage, we see that Moses is discouraged, and God's going to reassure him. You know, God isn't beating up Moses, is he? God is patiently teaching, patiently encouraging, patiently helping. And God reassures Moses based on his power and might. You know, we need to remember God's might and God's power. God has not forgotten his people. God cares about each one of us here, doesn't he? And God will not let us down. And, you know, Moses thinks God can't use him. You know, I've messed up. I don't have the skills I need. But yet God has unlimited power, and he will use Moses. And so the stage is really set here. And we'll get to chapter 7 here shortly. The stage is set. Who's more powerful? The God of the Israelites, Jehovah, Or is it the God of the Egyptians and Pharaoh? And so God has used all these things to put in place the perfect stage to show his power and reveal himself to his people. But for us tonight, do we really believe that God is all-powerful? Do we live each day by faith, trusting in him to deliver us from sin and to give us the power to serve him the way we should? I hope that's where our focus is. I hope our focus is just not on ourselves and our own problems. And, you know, I used to have a ministry, but then I messed up. And, you know, God can't use me because I'm not as skilled as this or that person. And I just don't have as much talent. And I hope that we're not just focused on our difficulties and issues. Well, you know, I don't have the income to do this. And, you know, I don't have this and that platform to use to proclaim God's message. I hope that we're not lacking faith like the Israelites and complaining, but I hope that we're encouraged, trusting God, remembering who he is, not forgetting, and letting him work in our lives. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage.